Hi, this is Chris Morgan, Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Fellowship Church. We're a non-denominational, full gospel church located in Matthews County, Virginia. Thank you for listening to today's message. We believe you'll be encouraged. For more information about us, visit gocfc.com. God bless and enjoy.
We bow our hearts and our minds before you, the King of Glory that we sang about this morning. But Lord, we thank you today that you're not far off. You live in our hearts by your Spirit. So help us today. Bring revelation. Bring fresh understanding to the hearts and lives of your people that will result in victory over every work of darkness, into the victory, into the place that you called each person to walk in and receive it from you by. And we give you the glory and give you the praise for it now in Jesus' name. And everyone agree with that said, amen. Praise God. Well, we're going to continue our Redemptive Truth series. I trust this series has been a blessing to you as much as it has been to me. This whole 2024, we have been talking on Sunday mornings on most of the Sundays on topics surrounding redemptive truth. Amen. And we're going to continue that today with a message entitled The Most Dangerous Thing. Amen. The Most Dangerous Thing. And so if that slide could go up for me, behind me, I want to explain this picture right here. Praise the Lord. I'm going to let you take a moment to look at that, because behind me represents some of the most dangerous beasts in the animal kingdom that we might encounter. But in the middle of that, you'll notice something different. And today, I want you to consider what's in the middle, something else other than those dangerous beasts, and that is the mind of man. Amen. And while these beasts that you see here may be some of the most dangerous things that you and I would encounter in life if we were out in the wild, there is something that is really else I want us to consider, and that is the mind of man. So this is why I'm calling it the most dangerous thing in the world. And it has, listen, the most dangerous thing in the world is to have nothing to judge all things by, especially the thoughts of man. Now, a few months back, one morning, as I was spending time with the Lord spoke this phrase to me. And he began to deal with me about this very thing. The most dangerous thing in the world is a mind left to itself that has nothing to judge its thoughts by. And so I want us to consider, as dangerous as we would consider the far right bottom picture known as the Black Death, or the King of the Jungle right above him, that great lion. And many of you, I know, already don't like snakes like myself. Praise the Lord. Forgive me for all you snake lovers. Praise the Lord. But in the middle here is something that possibly you may never encounter one of these wild beasts, and thankfully so for most of you probably. But what we must understand, you do have to deal with the most dangerous thing in the world, and that is a mind left to itself that has nothing to judge its thoughts by. Now, that may not seem to any of us in here today as the most dangerous thing to your life until you see the abundance of scriptures that instruct us about the importance of our thoughts and our minds. And I want you to consider this today. I will not finish this today or what we're talking about, but I want us to begin as we talk about the importance of right and wrong thinking. The importance of right and wrong thinking to our life. What you do with this about 6 inches of real estate between your two ears maybe the most important, or at least one of the most important things that you must consider and know how to keep. Most of us know if we had a sign up here today that said, post it, no hunting, or post it, no trespassing, it means, keep out! I'm here today to tell you that you need to have or learn how to keep the devil out of your mind. To keep the wrong thinking out of your mind, which many people may not assume or do not equate that their wrong thinking even came from the devil. And most people don't. That's one of the ploys of the enemy. If I was your enemy, the first thing I would try to do is convince you I didn't exist. And the devil has done a pretty good job to most people in the world. However, by reading God's word, we do know that he exists, and we know that one of his main modes of operation is against the mind, or what we would call the battlefield of our mind. And so, with that being said, and talking about the most dangerous thing in the world, I want us to focus on, at least this week and next week as the Lord wills, the why right and wrong thinking is so important, and why this must be understood, or our minds may become, if we don't, our minds may become the most dangerous thing in our life. Matter of fact, it will become the most dangerous thing in your life. So here's the progression that it's very simple, but many times people overlook it. It's so simple. Something, you know, God never made anything hard. You know, when Jesus taught, he used illustrations. He talked to normal people, and he used illustrations that based upon the people that he was talking to. Farmers, fishermen, and the list goes on. He knew how to relate to them with things that they could understand. I believe this is the way that we should be today as well. If what I say doesn't register with you, or what I say is so far over your head, it may be eloquent words, which I don't have, which you already figured out. Praise the Lord. And it may be things that sound really great. You could even say, man, Pastor really had a great message today. And somebody say, well, what did he talk about? I don't know, but it was sure good. It needs to be impactful enough that at least you could explain, at least in part, what we were talking about, but it would actually bring understanding to you in a way which you saw what God was saying to us. Not just what I would say, but what God would say. One of the greatest compliments is when people say, you know, I sit there today, Pastor, and it was just as if God was talking to me. Now, they're not saying I'm God. They're just saying everything you were saying was resonating with me, was this, if God was talking to me. That's a compliment, because I don't want you to hear what I have to say per se. I want you to hear that what God is saying, because that's when it changes your life. Amen. And if you're going to hear what God has to say, having to know it's going to really be found from this book. This is why I'm going to preach from this book called the Bible. The scripture is God's word speaking to us. Hallelujah. And so here's the progression. If we're going to understand right and wrong thinking, here's the progression that we need to understand and why it's so important. And it's really four steps. Our thinking or our thoughts. Everything begins with a thought. Everything begins with a thought or our thinking. It causes us or leads us to beliefs. The very purpose of thoughts is to produce beliefs, what you believe. So from thoughts or thinking come or emerge or causes beliefs. Amen. Beliefs are important because beliefs produce something. They produce ultimately words and actions. Now, the scripture is very clear on all of this, what I'm talking to you about. I'm giving you a short lesson on this. So, thoughts produce beliefs. The reason why our mind many times is so full of thoughts is because Something or someone is trying to persuade you. Something or someone, many times other than God, is trying to form beliefs in your life. Why? Because from beliefs, we have behaviors. They call words and actions. And from those words and actions, we emerge results or an outcome to what we thought, believe, and spoke and acted upon. There is an outcome or a result. To help us to understand this, maybe it would be good for you to understand that all thoughts begin in seed form. Both right and wrong thoughts or thinking work or produce like seeds. They work after or they produce after their kind, just like seeds do. If they are planted and they are watered, they produce after their kind, both for the good or for the bad. Amen. Your thoughts and what you do with them will determine what you believe. If wrong thoughts come and we accept them, we can believe them. But we're not to believe them, we're to reject them. If right thoughts come, we can reject them and do our own thing, but we are to believe them. Your thoughts and what you do with them will determine what you believe. Because ultimately, the reason that thoughts come to our mind or we think certain thoughts, they influence our beliefs, which determine our words and actions or behaviors, which produces an outcome or result, either for the good or bad in our life. Do you understand that? Let me say it again. Your thoughts and what you do with them will determine what you believe, and that will produce either the right thing or the wrong thing. It will produce either good or bad in your life. I want you to consider this. Did you know that there was never a word spoken? Think about this, what I'm getting ready to say. There was never a word spoken or an action taken that was not first just a thought. Because out of the heart and the mind, out of the thoughts of man come either good or evil. Jesus said that. Both in Matthew 12 and Matthew 15. We don't have time to turn there today. But we find that very clearly produced by the Scripture. So let me say this again. You must know that there's never a word that has been spoken or a action taken that was not first a thought. One thing this teaches us is while words, listen to what I'm going to say, are the most powerful thing, words are the most powerful thing in the world, thoughts are the most important thing. I will say that again. While words are the most powerful thing, because when God wanted to create everything, how did He do it? He spoke His word. While words are the most powerful thing, thoughts are the most important thing. Because before God ever even created everything, by speaking, having to know it was first in His heart, in His mind. Hallelujah. Because words come from and are preceded by our thoughts. Once again, even with God, the very thoughts of His heart and mind are revealed from what? Are revealed from His Word. We know how God thinks and what's on His mind because His Word, what He spoke. So everything He spoke was first in His thought, heart, mind. And then that's why it's the most important thing. But it's not the most powerful thing. The most powerful thing is our words. This is why we must know the importance of right and wrong thinking. Because with wrong thinking, we will believe the wrong thing, talk and act the wrong way, and it will produce the wrong results in our life. But let's flip that around. If thoughts come in seed form and that we accept the good thoughts, what God has said, and we accept them and believe them, and they produce words and actions, then it will produce a result and an outcome that God's Word said. That creative power will produce exactly what God's Word said it would in our life, which equals freedom, deliverance, salvation, healing, and any other promise that He has in us. This is why we shall know the truth, and the truth shall make us free. This is why the most dangerous thing is a thought life left to itself. A thought life left to itself that has nothing to judge or funnel those thoughts through is the most dangerous thing in life. Because it will lead you down a path of destruction. It will lead you in ways by which you will self-destruct by your wrong thinking, will produce wrong believing, which produce words and actions. And remember, Jesus said in Matthew 12, verse 37, He said, I'm quoting the Message Bible, it says, words are powerful, take them seriously. Words will be your salvation, and words will be your damnation. And so what He's saying is, that will bring the result. But it all began with what? Thoughts. It all began with thoughts. This is why, once again, I say the most dangerous thing in the world is a thought life left to itself. A great example of this can be found in Judges chapter 21 and verse 25. Let me explain to you, as it says, in those days there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own sight. What that meant was that because without the proper leadership, and for us, amen, us, like Israel, when a person does or people do what they think they should do or it's right in their own sight, read it for yourself. This is why Israel continued to get into trouble. And the whole book of Judges was about this. That man, in other words, he did not have a king. For us, that's King Jesus. We need to listen to the words of King Jesus. But because Israel had no king, they had no proper leadership, no godly counsel or wisdom, what man diverted to, because they were not hearing what the king was supposed to say, what God said. But because they were not hearing what God said, they came up with their own version of life, of God, and how to live. And they did what was right in their own sight. And this is why we see all through the book of Judges that God had to raise up judges or deliverers who would deliver them, because they did what was right in their own sight. And every time they did, you know what they did? They fell into sin, they fell into captivity, and they went into exile, bondage, and God had to send deliverers or judges who began to speak the word of God to them so they could hear the right thing, think the right thing, believe the right thing, speak the right thing, act the right thing, and have the right results as a people and as a nation again. So if that was true for them, how much more for us today? This is why I said the most dangerous thing in the world is to have nothing to judge all things by, especially the thoughts of your mind. And believe me, you and I all have them. Just put a big smile on your face today and nobody knows that there's any wrong thinking going on, because without even our consent, our mind will have interjections of suggestions and thoughts that are not in line with the Word of God. The Bible is very clear on that. Doesn't mean something's the matter with you. It just means that without us doing something against those thoughts or occupying our mind with the Word of God, if we have it just in neutral, it will come under attack. Matter of fact, you can have it engaged in the things of God and it still will come under attack. This is part of life. This is part of us understanding spiritual warfare. And spiritual warfare, if you will understand, The number one place where spiritual warfare happens at is right here in this mind. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us when it speaks of spiritual warfare or the word warfare, it always, in every instance, goes back to the mind. The mind under attack. And this is why you and I must do something with that mind. Remember when we got saved, God did something with our spirits. He made it new. But He told us that we would have to do something with our minds and do something with our bodies. What we would have to do with our minds and bodies is revealed, or our bodies and mind, in Romans 12, 1 and 2. I'll just quote that for us. You can write it down. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service of worship. So we are to do something with this outward man. God changed the inward man, but He told us that we're to present this outward man as a living sacrifice. In other words, we no longer let it do what it wants to do. Amen. Because of the life of Christ within and the power of the Holy Spirit that now abides in us, we can mortify the deeds of the flesh. That's Romans 8, 13. I reminded us about some of these truths last week. Then in verse 2 it says, and be not conformed to this world, but, in other words, don't think like this world thinks. That's the most dangerous thing in the world, to think the way the world thinks. And you know, that's how the church, that's how the world gets in the church, because when the church thinks like the world, then that's how the church gets in the world. Be not conformed to this world, but listen, we're not supposed to be like the world, we're supposed to reach the world. It's all right, the church, that we want the world to come, but we don't let the world change us, we change the world. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And so we see here that we're told to do something with our bodies first, and then our minds. And the way that our life is transformed, in other words, how what's happened on the inside begins to show up on the outside, is through the process of renewing our mind, exchanging our way of thinking for God's way of thinking. So the most dangerous thing in the world is a mind left to itself, without something to judge all its thoughts by. So what we need is a standard of measure. Everybody say standard of measure. We need a standard of measure to judge all things by, including our thoughts, to determine right from wrong. I'll say that again. We need a standard of measure to judge all things by, including our thoughts, to determine right from wrong. Hallelujah. This means we couldn't just make up our own standard, or live by our own opinion, like Israel did. They did what was right in their own sight. If there's going to be a standard of measure, then we should realize we can't make up our own. And we can't just have our own opinion. We can have an opinion, but opinion means diddly when it comes to a standard. But we need something that will be true for everyone, everywhere. Just like 2 + 2 = 4. It's not 3.5. Come on. Amen. It is not 3.5. It is not 5. It's a standard of measure. Every ruler, every tape measure, whether it's at Home Depot, whether it's at Walmart or Lowe's or Ace Hardware, every tape measure is a standard of measure. It's all the same. You'll never look at one and say, and read it, and three people get three different answers. It's always the same. It's universally true. That's what a standard measure is. So we need something in our own life. If the most dangerous thing in the world is a thought life or mind left to itself without anything to judge those thoughts by, then what we need is something absolute, accurate, and unchanging. You follow me? This means that we need a moral absolute. This means we need the truth. And I know that ruffles a lot of people wrong to say, even say the word moral absolute. But let me tell you something, there is one. And you better learn it soon, and you better know it now. It's called the truth. And so we don't go through life as believers on the whims and the whams of the changing fads and seasons, where it's popular to change terms and definitions of terms to suit the whim of the time. No, we know if we know there's a moral absolute and we know there's the truth, then this is what we live by. So I'm going to explain this. Simply, in this series, you've heard some of these things before, but it's worth repeating, because the most dangerous thing in the world is a mind left to itself without something to judge those thoughts by. And what we need is the truth. Slide 26, please. The truth is the absolute veracity of a statement. Veracity meaning total accuracy and habitual truthfulness. This is what the word truth means. Once again, it could be illustrated simply by saying, the math teacher saying, 2 + 2 = 4. 2 × 2 = 4. That would be true for each and every person. We go on and see, and slide 27, this means truth is accurate, it's absolute, it's habitual, it's unchanging. True truth is eternal and the same for all people. Slide 28, truth is found in the absolutes of Scripture and produce genuine faith in God. And this is why it is fought so much against in the world and by Satan. Why in the world, come on, are the things that we're hearing today so anti-Christ and so anti-God, so anti-Word? Because the world that we live in is influenced by Satan himself. That spirit of this age has crept in the minds of men, both educated and uneducated. And no matter whether their mind is brilliant, God calls it foolish if it brings something that rejects His truth. And so we find that truth is found in the absolutes of Scripture and produce genuine faith in God. The Scripture says in Psalms 14:1, write it down, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. There have been, I could name many philosophers of the day and many brilliant, the world calls minds of the world today, but without Christ and their acknowledgement of truth, they, God said, are fools. And they will end by their own destruction of what they believe. And yet, The Bible says that they, knowing that there is a God, still rejoice and persuade others to believe like they do and rejoice in those that do. And I submit to you today, as God did, they are fools. Not because God doesn't love them, because of their choice. Their most dangerous thing in their whole life is their mind, because they've not allowed it to be touched by truth, the Word of God. They've made their own version of truth, which is not truth. They have done what they have done to their demise of their own soul. But there's hope for us all. If we will learn to change our thinking, we can change our believing, we can change our words and actions, and we can get the right result, not the wrong result. I'm telling you this today because truth is found in the absolutes of Scripture. Where's the absolutes of Scripture? Right here in my hand. And they alone, this is why they are under attack by the world and by Satan, because they alone produce genuine faith in God. See, genuine faith in God is what you and I need. You and I cannot, no person on this earth can have genuine faith of God, in God, without the knowledge of God. And we get the knowledge of God. One of the greatest places is here, right here in the Word of God. This is why the devil will always challenge this. And this is why the world around us is fighting it. Because this and this alone produces genuine faith in God. And it's your faith, as 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 says, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Amen. As this slide said, truth is found, put that back, if truth is found in the absolutes of Scripture and produce genuine faith in God. And then we find this, slide 25, truth is a person. Truth is not something. Don't let people tell you truth is something. Truth is a person. Jesus Christ and what He said. In this series, we have found this amazing truth. That truth is not just something. Truth is rather a person. Jesus Christ and what He said. Now write these verses down. This is why John 14, 6 says, Jesus said it this way. Jesus said, He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father except by Him. Hallelujah. This is why Jesus, the truth, said He was the way. What does that mean? He's the only way to God. The truth. The truth. God's communication to man, so we not only know what truth is, but really who truth is. And the life. The only way to eternal life. So truth, who is a person, leads us to eternal life. Who is eternal life? Amen. Eternal life is not some thing, is someone. And receiving Christ, we receive eternal life. In John 17:17, this is why Jesus said, Thy word, O God, is truth. And God, we find, and His word are one and is truth. This is why, write it down, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, along with other numerous of Scripture references, let us know that God's Word is called the Word of Truth. God's Word is called the Word of Truth. And last but not least, in this illustration, Ephesians, write it down, 4:21, the Amplified Translation says, all truth, everybody say all truth. All truth is embodied and personified in Jesus Himself. All truth. Ephesians 4:21, Amplified Translation says, all truth is embodied and personified in Jesus Himself. So this means, hallelujah, we do have something to judge all things by, including our thoughts, don't we? And remember why that's so important. Because our thoughts always Whether you want to agree with it or not, it's true. The Bible lets us know. Our thoughts lead us to our beliefs that produce our words and actions which bring the results we are experiencing either for the good or for the bad. And the something that we have to judge all thoughts by, including our thoughts, is God's Word, the truth. Never has there been a time that's more important to our lives than to know God's Word for ourselves. For our present success or for failure in life, as well as our future's eternity, depends upon it. So true. I want to go back to the statement I made, give you an illustration. Our thoughts lead us to beliefs. You know, we really choose what we believe. Belief is a choice, just like faith is a choice. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. When we hear the Word of God, if you would, and reduce is not the right word, but if you would understand that faith is a choice, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That means when you actually hear the Word and understand it, when you hear the Word of God and you have a spiritual understanding of it, when you can actually see spiritually what is being said to you so that you understand it spiritually, then faith is there. At that point, by that thoughts, the word you hear produces thoughts in your mind. Once that's understood, faith is there. From that place, you choose whether you believe it or not. And what did I say the reason of thoughts were for anyway? To get us to believe something. So the whole reason for thoughts, the whole reason for me presenting this message today is to change your thinking, to get you to believe something, but not just something, the truth. Someone, the truth. To believe what God would say. So a good example of this is when you hear the healing word taught, amen, you have the opportunity. You have the opportunity, if you see it and can understand it, then that God wants you well, then you have a faith becomes a choice. And what happens is people either accept that or reject that. It's that simple. And we really know whether people accept it or reject it or not by their words and by their actions. It's always the same. Well, Pastor, you know, I believe in healing, but what if you would say, well, Pastor, I believe in salvation, but it may not be for me. So what we need to do is come back to a place where you hear the word again so that you can understand. What are you missing that you leave yourself out of either salvation or healing? The only way to persuade that or change that is by what you think. And that means that you have to hear something. So I would say to you, if we consider salvation something that could be yours, then we would read a scripture like John 3:16, for God so loved the world, you and me, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever will believe on him will not perish but have everlasting life. So the moment I hear that and I understand that he died for the world, including me, that means that he wants me saved. It means that he's not going to do anything else to save me because he's already provided the sacrifice for salvation that came in Jesus Christ, and he told me what to do in order to receive that. That whosoever will believe on him will not perish but have everlasting life. So I would make a choice based upon what I heard to believe that salvation would be mine, And then I would make my words and my actions agree with what I believe, and I would get the result of salvation. And that's exactly what Romans 10, 9 and 10 tells us. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, why would you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus? Because you've heard something. And that changed your thinking about Jesus and about your life concerning Jesus. But if I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and believe with my heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, made right with God, and his mouth confession results in his salvation. Thoughts, beliefs, words, results. That's how it works. In everything. In everything. And we have to know what God's word says, because God's word, newsflash, God's word is to change how we think. So we can change how we believe. So our words and our actions are changed. Why? So we can get the results of what God's word said. That's how we get everything. Not just salvation, but healing. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. Each and everything. See, this lets us know why our mind is so important. This lets us know that why the most dangerous thing in your life is a mind that's left to itself. Without something called God's word to judge all your thoughts by. Because if you allow just any thoughts to come in out of your mind the whole time, what is happening is you are confusing your own heart. And you are allowing thoughts to influence your heart and your belief. That if not are God's, then will produce the undesirable result. Because remember this, thoughts are like seeds. They produce after their kind. Wrong thoughts produce wrong results. Right thoughts produce right results. That is, listen, thoughts themselves are just seed form. But the reason thoughts come is to produce a belief. Therefore, at that point, you're going to have to either reject the wrong thought and receive the right thought. But the only way you and I are going to know right from wrong is how? By the truth. And what is truth? The Word of God. Who is truth? Jesus Christ and what He has said. So we understand that our present success or failure in life, as well as our future eternity, depends upon it. This is why the Word of God, the Word of truth, was given to affect our thoughts and to form our beliefs. This is so important. This may be basic. So many of you may say, well, I know that. But how many of us need to be reminded of this? Because we need to know this so good that we can help people. Because we're called to go into all the world and preach the gospel. We need to know where people are tripped up at so we can get them to Christ. And if we are not convinced of the truth ourselves, then how are we going to help someone with our own philosophy? If the blind, Jesus said it like this, if the blind lead the blind, they both fall in the ditch. Let no one fall in the ditch because of you and I. Let them come to Christ because of the truth. Let them change their thoughts and their hearts and their lives by knowing the truth and having the truth set them free. To know right from wrong, true from error, and to embrace and accept and believe the truth while rejecting and destroying the wrong, the error, is what the Word of God is given for. The Word of God was given as an absolute standard so we would know right from wrong, truth from error. So we can embrace, accept, and believe the truth while rejecting and destroying the wrong or the error. But if we don't know what the truth is, then there's a whole lot of things coming through our mind that's influencing our heart, maybe in the negative way, to our own detriment. Because ultimately, there was never a belief in your life that was not first a thought. So we need a way to judge those thoughts, to run them all through. It's called the Word of God, the funnel of God's Word. Without the truth and us knowing it, God's Word and us thinking, in other words, without the truth and us knowing what? Us knowing God's Word and us thinking in line with it and agreeing with it, we are left to the dangers of our own thoughts and minds and the cunning schemes of the devil to do what Jesus said in John 10:10, to steal, to kill, and destroy in our lives. We must understand what I just said. And Jesus warned us about this danger. It's called deception. And believe you me, it's plenty of it in this world. This is why I come week after week to tell and talk about the truth, so that deception can be defeated, so that lies can fail and truth prevail in your life. Because to the degree that truth and right prevail in your life will be the degree of victory that prevails in your life. And so today, I'm reminding us of this important thing. And Jesus warned us, maybe better than anyone else did, about the dangers. It's called, of this danger called deception. I want you to turn with me to Matthew 24 as I prepare and work towards the end of this message today, and see how far that we can go here in the next few moments. But in Matthew 24 and verse 4, Jesus gives an answer in response to a question that his disciples ask him concerning what is this world going to look like right before he comes back in his second coming to set up his kingdom upon this earth. And here's his first response to what it would look like. He said, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you." Wow. Notice this. Notice this. So Jesus said that right before he comes at his second coming to set up his kingdom, he said there will be a time of deception upon this earth. Notice he said, take heed. That means to physically watch. It means there needs to be, when it says take heed, it means that paying attention to what's happening, it makes all the difference. That discernment needs to be at the top of the list of what we need in the last day. And the way we're going to discern between right and wrong, good and bad, righteousness and evil, comes through one way: the Word of God. If we don't know what the Word says, we will be deceived. Jesus said, take heed that no man deceive you. And the word deceive there means to wander off course. It means actually a moral wandering. Wake up, church. Wake up, church. It means a moral wandering on a, actually, Jesus is saying, on a worldwide scale. A moral wandering from the truth of Scripture and morality. A moral confusion in society will set in right before he returns that will deceive many and leave people off a course. And although Jesus warned of many other signs before he would return, so we wouldn't understand how close we are to his return, the very first thing he said was, take heed that no man deceive you. That means he warns against deception. And but here's what we find. When we read Matthew 24 in the Amplified Translation, not only did Jesus warn here in verse 4, but he warned 9 other times, or a total of 10 times he warned them about deception. He warned them about all these other things. We know about the wars, the rumors of wars, the earthquakes, the famines, the signs in the heavens. We think about all those things, but he warned 10 times about deception. So that means that is the number one enemy to our soul. And we must understand that. Amplified translation of verse 4 says, here's what he says, and Jesus answers them, be careful that no one misleads you, deceiving you, and leading you to error. And the only way you're going to know the difference is by knowing this word. This is why it's important you don't come to hear a Sunday school lesson from me. This is why it's important that you don't hear the Reader's Digest from me. This is why I don't give you first opinions and second imaginations. I'm giving you the Word of God. If I say something that's not in the Word of God, take it or leave it, but mainly leave it. But if I can prove to you from the Word of God what I'm saying, then you better know that it's truth. You know, Jesus was not the only one that warned. There's many others that warned of error as the end time number one thing to talk about. This is why this whole redemptive truth series, because you must know the truth. You must know God. You must know how to follow Him. And you must know that it's truth alone that's going to set us free. Hallelujah. And we have to know it for ourselves. This is not something that's reserved for the pastor and a few spiritual elites. This is the gospel is for everybody. And for we can know the Word of God. And we should all know the Word of God. If I can learn it, anybody can learn it. Believe you me. And so I'm here today to tell you, many others warned this of well. Here's a look at a couple verses real quick. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, it says this, now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. Well, you had to be in the faith before you could depart from it. Some shall depart from the faith. Here's why, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. They listen to. It means a slow wandering again. They over a period of time. Listen, the devil don't always power wash you to show up and say, hey, this is me, God. No, he drips you. He drips you over and over again to see how you respond. He don't know how you respond until he sees how you act. That's what evil spirits do. And then by your words and your actions, he knows whether you're getting to him or not. Whether he's getting to you or not, or you getting to him. Some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And verse 2 says, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared as a hot iron. So what this actually means is that the evil spirits are going to come to the thoughts of men that are going to cause men that once believed in God and the things of God to slowly get off and then actually become hypocritical liars themselves who have the devil speaking to them and now they're speaking for the devil to talk their garbage unto a world that the devil wants to be deceived. This is what he's warning about. We're living in that time, church. I hope you see it. This may not be good news, but we must know it because Jesus said it's the number one thing that we'll fight against before he returns. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. We'll go through this pretty quick. Know this also, then in the last days perilous time shall come. What does the word perilous there mean? It actually means hard to deal with, difficult. It means dangerous, high risk. It actually is used one other time, this word used one other time in Matthew chapter 8 in the Greek New Testament, and it's translated defining the work of the devil. It's translated exceedingly fierce, talking about the demon-possessed man. He was exceedingly fierce. It's the same word, perilous. In other words, we're going to be living in demon-inspired times. Perilous time shall come. Verse 2, let's see what it look like. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Covetous. Oh man, we're seeing it. They don't love God, they love themselves. They love their own self. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Verse 3, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Despisers of those that are good, that includes you. traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. See, many times people say, well, I love God. Notice what it says. You're going to have a lot of people in the last day say, I love God, but they love pleasures more than they love God. And this is what he said, verse 5, I know nobody would like to hear it. Having a form of godliness, oh, they could sit in the pew every week. But denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Well, Pastor Chris, I just don't believe. I believe that we're all a good moral people. God don't. I just believe we're all good moral people. And you know that, you know, we all going to get to heaven. There's many ways to heaven. God don't think that. Well, Pastor Chris, I just believe that I'm just as good as anybody else, and I don't have to go to church, and I have to do all this kind of stuff. God never said any of that. Now, God didn't say you have to go to church to be saved. You have to make Jesus the Lord of your life to be saved. But he says every follower of him should follow him in that. See, what I'm saying, well, Pastor Chris, I don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. God does. Pastor Chris, I don't believe that healing is for today. God does. And I'm not saying that everybody that don't believe just like me is this person, but I can tell you, you better know that God has given us a standard that people that don't agree with what his word says, he said, turn away from. And one reason why is because that doubt and unbelief will get off on you. You hang around people long enough and you're not strong enough that don't believe in healing, don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, don't believe that going to church is important. I didn't say none of that is going to save you. I'm just saying what the Word says about your spiritual growth. I've had more than one person in the world look at me and say, I don't need to go to church to be right with God. I don't believe I have to go to church. And said, well, you know what? You don't have to go to church to be saved. But going to church proves you love God. Because you're obeying what his word says. And going to church is important because, listen, it's important because it's helping you follow Christ, know him and grow in him. That's why you need to go. Well, I just don't believe I need to go. Well, have it your way and the devil will get you quicker. Come on. Everything I've said, funnel it through the word. Even what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is the word of God. This is what's going to save us from deception in the last day. Because believe you me, the devil, all he wants is a little foothold. And then he gets in, and then one thing, well, you know, I can't tell you how many people at one time believed in certain things of God, and one by one, they slowly creeped out of their life because they let people talk out of them, or an experience happened in the life, or something else happened. This is why we got to be rooted and grounded in the Word of God. This is why the most dangerous thing, come on, Brother Ryan, and help me. This is why the most dangerous thing in the world is to have nothing to judge all things by. And not just your thoughts, but what others have said as well. Because in these last two instances, Jesus said, it's not just your thoughts that you need to be able to determine right from wrong by, but it's also what other people have said to you. That you need something, it's called the truth, that you judge not only your thoughts by, what people have said by. And number one defense against deception is the truth. And remember, slide 25, what it says, truth is not something, truth is a person. Jesus Christ and what he has said. I want to leave us with this thought today, and we'll pick up next week. Proverbs. See, I realize that in here today that, let's say, 95%, 98%, whatever it is, maybe it's 90%, maybe it's higher, of the people in here today, I'm discipling. I'm helping them to follow Christ, to know Him and follow Him. That's my assignment as a pastor. But I also realize that in doing that, I have to do what Jesus said. You know, His command for us all to do two things, make disciples and reach the lost. So evangelism is also important. That means to present the gospel in a way that those that don't know Christ can come to Him. Everything I teach or taught had that in mind as well. Not just for your benefit in mind, but for everyone else as well that may not know Christ. Because that's how Christ reaches people. You know, He uses people just like you and I. And it's His Spirit that's alive, that's working. That when people hear the truth, God's Holy Spirit, who is omnipresent, deals with the hearts and minds of even those that are lost, to bear witness with their heart, to expose error, and to reveal truth so that people can turn from their error of the way. You know why? Because God is not willing that any be lost, that any perish, but all come to repentance. I'm reminding us of that for twofold reason. Number one, for all those that you may get tired of witnessing to and sharing with, God wants them saved. And I'm reminding us in here today for this, because what if there's one person that doesn't know Christ, or one person that's away from Christ? You know what God said He'd do? He tells us exactly what He would do in Luke 15. He said He would leave the 99 sheep that are kept in the fold and go after the one that was lost. That's how much He loves the lost. He would leave the 99 and go after the one that was lost, so that the one that was lost could be the one that's now found. Matter of fact, He said that's how there's joy in heaven. There'll be rejoicing and a celebration in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than 99 that need no repentance. You know, we rejoice over things, and rightly so, things that make us happy and things that we're glad about. But I can tell you, we gotta realize this: what makes God happy and what makes God happy may be different than what makes us happy. We may be rejoicing, it's not about that, rejoicing over a football team or who won the election and all those kind of things. But nowhere in this, and I'm not saying it's wrong to rejoice on any of those things. Listen, and be thankful for all of those things that you pray for. But the scripture made it really clear what God rejoices and what heaven celebrates about. You know what it is? When somebody comes to Him. Because those that are lost are found. Those that are in darkness come to light. And I said all this to talk to that one or two or three that may be in here today. Proverbs, I'll close with this. Proverbs 14:12 says, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. See, if we're not careful, here's what we all do. We all justify what we believe. But what we believe can only either be justified or condemned by how it lines up with God's word. God said, by your words you shall be justified, by your words you shall be condemned. That means there was a thought or belief that will end up in condemnation or acquittal. And know this, if you don't think that God loves you and can save you, you'll never come to Him. But God loves you. He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, sinner, doesn't make it up, whosoever would just simply believe on Him, they would not perish, but they have eternal life. This is why the book of Proverbs warns there's a way that seems right unto a man. See, we got our own way. We can make up our own way to God. We can make our own God up. We can make it our own version. We, like this. There's many ways to God. There's many religions to God. There's, all roads lead to heaven. That's not what God said. There's a way. He warns us. See, this is why you have to funnel it through the truth, the Word of God. There's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So there's one way to God. There's ways to death. And any other way other than God's way is the way of death. And Jesus made it clear. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father except by me. So he's the road, he's the way, he's the path to the Father. If we want a ticket to heaven, it can only come one way, through Jesus. I've said this many times. I'm saying it for a benefit again. If I invited you to my house, and I gave you an invitation to my house to come to eat with me, to spend time with me, and I you didn't know how to get there, and I wrote down specific directions that said, here's the directions to my house, follow them, that's the only way you can get there. Living in a small community like this, we could be smarty pants and say, oh, there's more than one way to get there. I think that back road gets them there. They'll take a shortcut and get there. Let me just tell you something. If you tried the shortcut and never found the way to my house, whose fault would it be that you never showed up? Yours, not mine. I gave you specific directions. I want us to understand there's no shortcut to God. Yet God did not make it hard to come to him. It comes one way, and that's through his son, Jesus Christ. Come his way today. He didn't make it hard. He loves you. And he made it easy for us all. I'm looking around and seeing all the people that have received him. He didn't make it hard, or none of us could do it. We just heard what he said. It persuaded our hearts. We chose to believe it. And then we began to act on it with our words and our actions. And it produced a result called salvation. Bow your hearts and heads with me in closing.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it helped you. You can visit our website at gocfc.com to listen to other life-giving messages, read the pastor's blog, or to find out how you can be a part of an upcoming service. We hope to hear from you or see you soon. God bless and have a wonderful day.